country man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those wooden mole boys raised on shotguns.
Welcome to the show, folks.
We say grace.
You are tuned into the Trump Phenomenon here on June 27th, 2017. I'm James Kelso. The program is live. We welcome your phone calls, although I'll put the phone calls off just for a moment, because we are expecting tonight to receive a call from Simon Roche, a South African patriot with whom I was just speaking on the phone as he was traveling through Tennessee. And my goodness, what a providential thing this connection with Simon Roche is. Expect to hear Mr. Roche on our program a lot over the next 9 weeks or so. And we will be, well, folks who were listening to the show more than a year ago, you remember the South African series that was so intense. It was 3 or 4 months of solid South African stories. And so we are going to revisit the South African scene in upcoming weeks, more intensively even than that previous coverage of the crisis for our people in South Africa. And we will connect this with Paul Fromm's book, upcoming book, on the scene in South Africa. And so stay tuned for this. I expect a call any minute from Simon Roche. Now, I just got off the phone with him a little while ago, and this is all very extemporaneous, so there may be a slip between the cup and the lip here on making this connection. But Simon Roche has assured me that he'll endeavor to be on again tomorrow night, and then we will just proceed into the future. This story is that important. Of course, to recall to mind for you what we were saying in our earlier South African series, what's going on in South Africa is important to us here at the Trump Phenomenon for, among others, two very important reasons. First, it's a moral test of who we are and of our, you know, of our fiber and, let's see here. Well, that's not, this is a different phone call. I'll click this phone call off. But secondly, it's also it's our fate. South Africa is the vanguard of the crisis for our race worldwide. And so if we fail in South Africa to support our kinsmen, we're facing the same fate here among ourselves. Elise? The course, there's a whole lot of news to cover here in the last 24 hours. The a bombshell dropped by James O'Keefe and the Veritas, Project Veritas. My gosh. Exposing CNN, one of their producers, actually saying on a hidden camera that Russiagate is BS. Oh, my gosh. Have they just been taken apart? Watch this. It's going to be very interesting to watch Rachel Maddow try to rev up the Russiagate story again with the CNN producer saying that Russiagate is, pardon my French, bullshit. But that's what he says. It's very powerful. And, you know, wow, my hat's off to Project Veritas. Let me find his page here and we'll take a peek here at what he's doing. Let me go here to find it here for you. And the, boy, I've got some extra computers here. I added a computer to our array here at our radio studio. And so we're getting, it's getting kind of impressive. Here it is, the lead story at Breitbart. Could be bullshit. I mean, it's mostly bullshit right now. That's a quote from the CNN producer. And there you have it. A CNN producer caught on camera, frankly admitting that fake news isn't some regrettable accident of the 24-hour news cycle. Fake news, this is a Breitbart article here by James Dellingpole, is CNN's entire business model. The business model of quite a few other liberal mainstream media outlets, too, if the tantalizing hints being dropped by James O'Keefe are to be believed. As a fellow human being, I feel sorry for the poor guy caught on camera by Project Veritas admitting this stuff because he's probably going to lose his job. But as a fellow journalist, I feel about as much sympathy for him as I do for all those idiot jihadists who go out to fight in Raqqa and Mosul, lured by the cool videos of the beards, black flags, and AKs with the wailing soundtrack. Did they seriously imagine when they joined ISIS / CNN? Oh, that's beautiful. That it was all just going to be about the glamour and the hot chicks and the purity of the noble cause? And I'm really not being high-minded here. It just seems to me that one of the most basic entry-level precepts that any serious news organization ought to observe, and that CNN most patently never has observed, or not for a very, very long time, is this. Facts are sacred. The truth always makes the best story. You do not make stuff up. Well, it's only the word is not stuff. No, not only ought this stuff to be obvious, but it ought to come instinctively. Isn't the whole attraction of joining an unglamorous, overworked, underpaid trade like journalism that you want to discover the truth about the world? All that stuff that they would rather you didn't know? That's certainly been my own experience in the last few years covering the climate change enviro lunacy beat. I've never much enjoyed all the flack I've got from the left-wing media. Still less have I liked being rejected by so many friends. But the thing that has kept me going through the hard times is that I know I'm doing good and making a real difference. There are some devious bastards out there doing terrible stuff, and I'm exposing their knavery and holding them to account. So writes James Dellingpole. And let's see, we'll skip down to the bottom here. Well, he's... Well, it's a good column here, but he's not directly covering the O'Keefe story, and but we'll certainly cover that here tonight. And I'm keeping an eye. I'm a little distracted. I'm keeping an eye out for this phone call from our South African caller. Let's just see what's breaking at Breitbart. A story on the H-1B that we've been covering here. This is complete treason, say the forgotten Americans. And here's Clarence Thomas with a nice comment from the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ought not stand by idly as gun control cripples. Let me see what the rest of the story is. The Second Amendment. In a June 26 dissent that accompanied the Supreme Court of the United States announcement that it would not hear Peruta versus California, Justice Clarence Thomas said the court ought not stand by idly as state-level gun control cripples the Second Amendment. Hear, hear, Clarence Thomas, one of the good guys on the Supreme Court. On January 12, 2017, Breitbart reported the Supreme Court was asked to review Peruta in hopes of securing a ruling on fundamental rights, particularly as to whether the Second Amendment entitles ordinary law-abiding citizens to carry handguns outside the home for self-defense in some manner, including concealed carry when open carry is forbidden by state law. Thomas, Clarence Thomas, contended that the Supreme Court's decision to pass over Peruta was, in his words, indefensible, unquote. And in his dissent, he writes that the Supreme Court is treating the Second Amendment as a disfavored right. He observed, the Constitution does not rank certain rights above others, and I do not think this court should impose such a hierarchy by selectively enforcing its preferred rights. Thomas then expressed concern that a sheltered, inside-the-beltway lifestyle is blinding many to the framers' intentionality in hedging in gun rights for the citizenry at large. Police? And Thomas was joined in that dissent by, hear, hear, good news, Justice Neil Gorsuch. So we're getting a Supreme Court now, folks, that is shaping up very nicely.
Very nicely indeed, James.
Oh, George. Well, we're joined, folks, by George, our co-host. I'll start calling you our co-host on the East Coast. How about that?
That's wonderful stuff. Okay. But we're very pleased with the Supreme Court, and may it be stacked in our favor for the rest of our day.
Yes. Now, George, let me give you something. This is news to you. I just got off the phone a little while ago with a South African patriot named Simon Roche, R-O-C-H-E. And folks, this is providential. I got this call out of the blue, and Simon Roche is going to be in the United States for the next several months. He is a leading South African patriot. We had a great series on South Africa here on this show some time ago. I wanted to return to get an update and also to continue and extend the story to defend our kinsmen in South Africa, and Simon Roche is going to do that for us. He's very graciously agreed to be on the radio a lot, and he is a walking encyclopedia. He's only 49 years old, and he has an organization with which he's affiliated in South Africa. Let me give you this website, folks, so let me find it for you here. This is something you want to write down, and a site on which you want to read extensively. It's called Suidlanders.org. Suidlanders.org. And I'll spell that for you slowly. That's in Afrikaans. S-U-I-D-L-A-N-D-E-R-S. Suidlanders. And S-U-I-D, that's south in Afrikaans. The Suidlanders.org. And just enjoy your read on this website. This is Simon Roche's organization. I'll read a little bit. Who are we? The Suidlanders are an emergency plan initiative officially founded in 2006 to prepare a Protestant Christian South African minority for a coming violent revolution. We are non-aggressive and legal in our preparation, constituted lawfully under the Geneva Convention, with particular reference to Protocols 1 and 2 of the Protocols for the Protection of Non-Combatant Civilian Afrikaners, Women, Children, the Elderly, and the Non-Able-Bodied, in the event of a civil war. And you can go then read that part of the Geneva Convention.
Well, I'm at the site, and when you enter it, there are, we'll just say, graphic images of a certain group of folks in South Africa doing fun things like burning down whole city blocks, turning over trucks and cars, beating everyone in sight, throwing rocks, yelling obscenities. As Donald Trump would say, not the civilized world.
And they continue. In 2006, the signs were becoming clearer that anarchy in South Africa was a real possibility. While most people ignored these warnings, Suidlanders started to prepare. Today, many ardent deniers have to admit that anarchy in South Africa is not only possible, but likely. Through years of research, we were able to build an emergency plan that will allow us to cope and assist during a nationwide emergency situation like a civil war. Hundreds of training manuals concerning refugee management, logistics, convoys, etc. have been written and are ready to be used. A nationwide off-grid communications network has been designed to function when the conventional communication grid goes down. A nationwide online evacuation assistance website provides extraction coordinates to our members. Through our nationwide monitoring network, we are aware of and report incidents of instability around the country. We are primarily a Bible-believing Christian conservative group. We call on our members to personally prepare for an emergency situation like major civil unrest. With the help of thousands, I love the sound of that word, thousands of our members, we have prepared and identified extraction routes and safe areas where trained and capable members will become self-reliant and proficient to provide assistance and support to the inevitable flow of refugees during crisis. Through experience, especially in Africa, we have learned that we cannot depend on international bodies to assist during a conflict. We intend, through God's provision, to help ourselves. We also believe, in the words of a century-old prophet called Nicholas von Rensburg, who clearly warned the Boer of an impending civil conflict, we invite the international community to contact us. That's what we're doing right now, folks, so that we may work together in preparing to resist a global persecution. Our main website is suidlanders.co.za. ZA stands for Zuid Africa, South Africa. Suidlanders.co.za, and you only need to go to Suidlanders, more simply, .org. Welcome to the Suidlanders. And let me just here, I'm going to get my page up here so I can see when Paul Fromm may arrive tonight. And folks, I haven't had a chance to talk to Paul about this latest development in our South Africa coverage, but Paul is going to be very delighted with this opening. It is really going to help the production of the South African book that Paul is now working on. I hope we will be able to recruit extensive help from Simon Roche in the completion of this book, which I hope that the Suidlanders.org will like it enough that they themselves might distribute it or give it their endorsement. We've got a break coming up. I think we can open the phones pending the arrival of Simon Roche. So if you want to call in right now, 800-313-9443, you're welcome to do so. See you in a moment.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are back, folks. You're tuned into the Trump phenomenon. Beautiful story we'd like to cover today. We may not be able to cover it well enough, but that is the implosion of the Russiagate hoax, thanks to James O'Keefe, among others, exposing it. But I also want to introduce, at least prepare the way here for the appearance of Simon Roche as a guest on this show. Let me just familiarize you a little bit with his voice. This is an interview that Stefan Molyneux did with Simon Roche just a short while ago. You can get just the flavor of the guest that we will be having on this show many times in the weeks to come.
So, South Africa emerged, of course, in the late 70s and 80s up until the early 90s as sort of the home.
Let me skip forward a little bit here to the middle of this interview. It's over 1 hour interview. Just listen to this encyclopedic knowledge of Simon Roche about his beloved South Africa.
Between the same sovereign states. One is a recognized citizens, the others are second-class citizens, but the fact remains, they're okay. The British then devised various...
Okay, we'll skip forward here.
Well, what's going to happen? And I think this is, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think this is part of what your concern is going forward. So let's get up to the whites voted generally to end apartheid. And I'm not entirely sure that the causes of apartheid, the productivity of apartheid, regardless of how we look at this morally, economically, it was enormously productive. I'm not sure that there was a very clear sense of how things were going to work, other than magic pixie dust of egalitarianism and democracy is going to make everything even better than it was before. Was there anything else in place that I wasn't aware of that was going to aid in this transition?
No, not at all, Stefan. You know, the whites handing over power is very much to do with this conservative Christian ethic thing. It was easy, relatively easy, to persuade people to do this unprecedented thing. I mean, almost unprecedented in history, where a group of people says, oh, all right then, you know, we feel so guilty, we're so bad, we're such nasty people, go on, you can have it. Of course, there were many people who said this is going to end badly. But by and large, people didn't want to be responsible for being the bad guy. What they had done, what was necessary, built this terrific society, this exceptional society, and then started to think, well, maybe, you know, we've been a bit too nasty. So it was quite easy to twist people's perspective, you know, from inside apartheid to outside in a moment.
Right. Well, and the same thing, of course, is happening with questions of demographics and immigration in the West at the moment. So this is a big challenge. Part of what we're trying to do, of course, is bring facts to people, because if you don't ever have facts, the right facts, then you can't ever make good decisions. So
I'm going to skip forward a little more. That was an interesting explanation there from Simon Roche about the 1994 vote in which South African whites very, very mistakenly actually voted to empower the ANC to subject their country to black majority rule. Unbelievable mistake. But Simon Roche gave a very good explanation of that propensity that we as white folks have. We always want to do the right thing, and we always want to be thought of well. And that... So no good deed.
I'm going to add that there's always a little dollop of the other side, you know, driving this agenda and influencing, the basic white person to think this way.
Oh, yeah.
In the absence of the other side, I really wonder if this would have happened. But anyway, please continue.
Yeah. No, no good deed has gone unpunished. In the glorious history of the white race, which, as I said in a recent program, has among its list of credits having invented everything, having invented among all those that everything, science itself. We'll be right back right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word, bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Through on a wooden cross, blackbird in the barn, 400 empty acres that used to be.
We're back, folks. George, our East Coast correspondent, is with us and co-host. Not yet joined by Paul Fromm, who is working on our South African book for the American Freedom Party. And I was just playing a little bit of Simon Roche interviewed by Stefan Molyneux. And let me just return to that a little bit. I cannot wait to get such interviews here on Republic Broadcasting in our archive, because Simon Roche, who's now doing a tour of the United States, and we caught him mid-tour, thank goodness, we are going to follow the rest of this tour and help him as much as we can. His website of his organization is suidlanders.org, suidlanders.org, and this is a rescue mission. We sent Paul Fromm twice to South Africa to help prepare the book to tour South Africa. And here is Simon Roche in this interview.
Boom, junk status, game over.
Let's talk a little bit about the crime. The crime is For those who, you know, maybe if you live in inner cities in America or other places, it's somewhat comprehensible. But for most of us, the level of crime, the fear of being outside your own home, the fear sometimes of being inside your own home, the need for sort of barbed wire and safe rooms and weaponry and so on. Let's have a look. Just give us a sense, walk us through the numbers of murders under apartheid versus the number of murders occurring every year in South Africa at the moment, the rape capital of the known universe. Let's go through some of the before and after so people can get a sense of what's happened.
The crime statistics from prior to apartheid are fractional compared to the ones that we're going to discuss. I'm trying to think out of my head of some good examples, but until I do, I think that the best reference point that I can give is that South Africa was known for the fact that nobody had garden walls during apartheid. I remember somebody coming from France, and that I attended a talk that they gave in the 80s, and they said that was the most outstanding characteristic for them, is having come from France, which is not necessarily a very crime-prone society, but just to see how nobody in South Africa has walls around their gardens. And that's indicative of just how safe it was to live in South Africa. Now, everything has changed quite drastically. The number of murders of whites by black people since the beginning of apartheid is around about 74,000. Nobody is certain, because since 2007, the government has refused to permit people to see the statistics, the crime statistics, so that the police department has said nobody's allowed to look at the books. Nobody's allowed to see who was killed, when, why, how, who. And so nobody knows, but the best extrapolations and records show something like 74,000. And to put that into perspective, the number of American soldiers killed in Vietnam was about 58,000. The danger multiple is 0.44, meaning that as a three-year-old South African little girl, white girl, or as a 90-year-old granny, you stand just about half the chance of being murdered as you would have if you'd fought as a soldier in the Vietnam War. It's a phenomenon that's not being discussed, it's not being aired, it's not in the mainstream media, but if it was Scots doing it to Welsh, or French doing it to, I don't know, Basques, or Italians doing it to people from the Umbria region, there would be a hysterical shrieking purely because of the sheer scale of it on the front pages of every newspaper in the world every day.
Well, and the sentiment, this is even as of 2002, 60% of South Africans said that life was better under apartheid, which had only ended 8 years earlier. And then,
let me turn it down. There's something that we were fearing was true back when we were running our original South Africa series. Simon Roche making it official that the ANC black government of South Africa now has closed the books on the statistics, the facts of the crime. So now they are definitely there in a Orwellian memory hole situation where the crime against white South Africans is now not even measurable. But that 74,000 murders that he slightly misspoke there since the 94 catastrophic election, turning over, where whites turned over control of their country to the black population, that 74,000, to put it in American terms, folks, the white population of South Africa is about 1/50th of the white population of America. 4 million versus 200 million. So you have to take 74,000, multiply it times 50 to get the measure of how many murders are we talking about. In our terms in America, this would be 3.7 million Americans murdered in race war, brutally murdered in many, many cases, like the farm murders that Simon Roche talks about, children not exempted at all. Horrific crime, Imagine, folks, if we had 3.7 million race murders in America since 1994. Well, that's what our cousins in South Africa do have. And it's accelerating. It's getting worse. George, I had never heard before that interesting fact that corresponds to your memory and my memory and Paul Fromm's memory of what life was like for us in the 1950s, a little early for you, George, but in the 1950s, we do remember dad leaving the keys to the car in the glove compartment or under the visor, and the front door not being locked, the windows being open in the summer. For the South Africans, a Frenchman noticing the most remarkable thing, you don't have walls. They didn't have walls. They didn't need walls. It was that safe in South Africa.
You're not going to mention it, but black South Africans had a very good life under apartheid, too. They didn't need to put walls around their gardens either.
Yes. And, of course, the catastrophe. Now, this is something we'll learn. In the coming weeks, folks, we're going to have something of a history seminar about what really the real story of South Africa. And one of the things I was educating myself on today, from thanks to Simon Roche, his encyclopedic knowledge, that when his ancestors were the founder settler people of South Africa, it was in fact uninhabited territory. There were a tiny number of small family groups of two groups of people that were not numerous at all.
Hottentots were there.
The San, then the San and the Khoi Bushmen. But South Africa that we know today was uninhabited land. The Zulus and the central black Africans arrived later, after the white people. And the history there is remarkable. The claim of our Boer cousins to the land of South Africa is a remarkably solid claim. It is their land. They did build it. Now, they made the colossal blunder that we made here in America and with slavery, a colossal blunder, thinking that we could somehow somehow defy logic and have a significant population in our midst that was not us, that would not, we would not someday come to rue, that we had, you know, for sake of convenience for some people, or you know, to make a little bit of money, colossal blunder of importing a population. But the South Africans, the point you make there, George, is South Africa, yes, even for the blacks in the age of apartheid, life for blacks in South Africa was much better than it is today. And, of course, the right answer for South Africa and for America, of course, is for every people, black, yellow, brown, white, every people should have their own land. The American Freedom Party believes this passionately. All people are entitled to a land of their own. They're all entitled to security, not for 5 years or 5 months. We're all entitled to be able to say, I will leave my land, I will leave it to my grandchildren and my great-great-great-grandchildren, descendants on into eternity. This will be our land. And it gives people something to live for and something to feel secure about. Whereas the multicultural lie, the fairy tale, it leaves, like, the future becomes a scary place, which is what...
Like the present.
Like
I need
the
to
present.
Mention, this is a fabulous website, and obviously this is, you know, the new leadership of white South Africa. I don't know who it was before, but Swedlanders... Yeah, if you're listening to this broadcast, dial up that website, take a look, and participate. They got it.
Yes, and now what we're going to do? They're resolved. They're going to survive in place on their own. They of course, there are two large strains of people in white South Africa, the Boers, who were originally founded by three groups of people starting on April 6, 1652, when Dutch Calvinists landed at the Cape of Good Hope. And look at that date, folks, 1652, our ancestors, Plymouth, 1620, Jamestown, 1607, exactly at the same time. Other ancestors of ours in New Amsterdam, which is now New York City, also in those 1600s. Many of people from the same families, some went south in the Atlantic to the Cape of Good Hope. Others went west to Jamestown, Plymouth, and New Amsterdam. The second group were Huguenots from France. Huguenots came here. I have ancestors in all three groups, but the Huguenots fleeing the revocation of the Edict of Nantes, which was some common sense toleration between religions. And the third group were refugees from the 30 years war in the Rhineland Palatinate, which is where my ancestors were a part of that flight as well, in the horrific 30 years war. Those were the original Boers. And then the second wave of people were the British who came. And but they are now our white cousins, 4 million plus strong in South Africa. But they intend to survive on their own. They're not counting on our help, but we're going to surprise them and give them help. So on this show, we'll be asking you to help contribute funds to the work that Simon Roche is engaged in, help pay for the book that Paul Fromm is writing, and we're going to extend help to our cousins in South Africa. And then now, let's tie this in with the theme of our work, the Trump phenomenon. Donald Trump can be very crucial in this whole process. Our South African cousins had to deal with an American president named Barack Hussein Obama. Can you imagine what kind of ambassador? I don't know exactly what the ambassador was doing there, our ambassador, but he's gone. The Hussein Obama communist ambassador is gone. I believe the position is vacant. So let us on this show, let us put the word out to our president. Let's get a great ambassador to South Africa. Let's get someone who honestly understands the plight of our people in South Africa. And I think we can look forward to some great decisions from Donald Trump in helping to rescue our cousins in South Africa. And an important thing, for all of the horror that Jacob Zuma, the head of the ANC and of the South African government, represents, he is nevertheless infinitesimally weaker he's a small fish compared to President Donald Trump. So if Donald Trump puts the word out to Jacob Zuma that he's not happy with the genocide going on against white people in South Africa, watch even the communist clown Jacob Zuma sit up and pay attention. I had a chance when speaking with Simon Roche earlier, I asked him if he was familiar with the organization Genocide Watch, and he certainly is, and our South African cousins are aware of Gregory Stanton, who is a cousin of mine, distant cousin, but he is a cousin, and he, this is amazing, this organization, which is people on the left, very pleased with Genocide Watch because it's talked about various forms of genocide against blacks on blacks, Asians against Asians, other races slaughtering each other. It's been documented by Genocide Watch, and liberals, you know, they've approved of this. They were quite surprised when Gregory Stanton came back from a month-long fact-finding tour of South Africa, much as our Paul Fromm did twice, and he issued a report, a definitive report, stating that South African whites are now at the penultimate, next-to-last stage of a process of genocide, a scale of genocide devised actually by Gregory Stanton. Let's go to a caller right now in Utah. Let's see, I think we have Jeff in Utah calling. Jeff, can you hear us?
I can, James. Thanks for taking my phone call. I'd sure like to take those 4 million and put them in battleground states. That'd be good. But hey, I wanted to just tell you, I looked at the latest Inquirer, and supposedly the National Enquirer is published by a friend of Donald Trump. Well, this latest issue is saying that around July 4th, it's going to be called Bloody Sunday, that President Trump is going to be firing.
Jeff, I've read the same issue. Let's talk about it. Stay with us. We'll cover it right after the break.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
NutraMedical's Calm Mind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter, helps lower blood pressure, helps to make you feel calm all day long, and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. Calm Mind contains GABA. It also contains xanthine and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on Calm Mind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder, and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis and before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday, when a man could still work, still would. The best of the free life behind us now. And are the good times really over for good?
We're back, folks. And let's take a chance here and see if we can squeeze in a couple really short phone calls before we have to say goodbye. Jeff in Utah, you're still with us. Got a few seconds.
I just wanted to say, James, according to that Enquirer article, Jeff Sessions is out because Trump is mad that he rescued himself. Bannon is out. Kellyanne Conway is out. Spicer is out. Ben Carson and Tom Price are all going to be fired. And then four Obama polls are going to be fired.
I saw that story. And, yes, I've read the same story that the owner of the Enquirer is personal friends with Donald Trump. So that's reason to pay attention. And there have been great, great stories by National Enquirer. I don't know. On this one, I don't know. I'm holding judgment on this, but yes, those names that you indicated, folks, if you see it in your newsstand, the latest issue of National Enquirer says that those folks are slated to walk the plank. And I like Jeff Sessions, but boy, did he mess up when he recused himself from Russiagate, which is imploding now as we speak. He should have stayed in there to put an end to it. Donald Trump had to be upset with that, and then that led to Rosenstein, the recusal leading to Rosenstein now being in charge. Rosenstein then compounding the error by putting William Mueller, James Comey's best friend, in. We all know the story here. This has been a catastrophe. I think Donald Trump will survive it just fine. I don't think he needs to fire any people in question. And the Bannon story indicated that Bannon's major mistake has been a little too much hot dogging, going on the cover of Time magazine, for example, making himself the story. If you're an advisor, a strategist, you want to not be the story. You want to give good advice to your boss, but make your boss the story. So that would be just a mistake on Steve Bannon's part. We'll see.
I like Steve Bannon a lot. But it sounds, yes, according to the article, that he'd been leaking too, but yeah, I like Bannon. It'll be hard to see him go, but like, yes, you say, he'll survive all of this.
Yeah, and so will Jeff Sessions. I mean, but let's see. I don't know. That story may not have. Who knows who is generating that story? We'll hear from Donald Trump shortly, and that's.
Thanks for
Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. And let's go. We've only got seconds left. Oh, my goodness. Bill in Wisconsin, it's actually Vladimir Putin, is on the phone with us. Vladimir, I was going to put you on. We've run out of time here. Here's the music. I'll give you a rain check. Now that Russiagate has been exposed as a hoax, President Putin, what do you have to say to us? We'll hear from President Putin tomorrow. And Simon Roche, don't miss the show tomorrow night, folks, as our South Africa story resumes. See you tomorrow.
Probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.